The teachers needed to separate two children on the playground who are fighting over a toy, each yelling, "But that's not fair." Our children learn at an early age that life ought to be fair. And when it is not, when there is no confidence that people will get what they deserve, playground squabbles can mushroom into bloody wars. In today's first reading, we meet someone who is very serious about fairness. He firmly believes that people ought to get what they deserve, especially from God. Meet Jonah, the prophet whom God sent to preach to the wicked city of Nineveh, the capital of Assyria. Now, if there ever was an empire in the ancient world that stood for wickedness and evil, it was Assyria and its capital, Nineveh. Jonah will have nothing to do with such wickedness, and he takes a boat to Tarshish to get away as far as he can from Nineveh and as far as God as he can. But Jonah foolishly thinks he can run away from God. For while on that boat, God hurls a mighty storm at Jonah, threatening to sink the boat. The crew is terrified. Fearing for their lives, they pray to their respective gods, hoping that one of them might listen and save them. But where was Jonah? No one can find him. They discover that he is fast asleep in the hold of the boat. The captain frantically wakens him and demands that Jonah call on his God too. The crew decides to cast lots, perhaps drawing straws or throwing dice, hoping that the gods would use it to reveal who on their boat was responsible for this deadly storm. Sure enough, Jonah got the short straw. He can't even get away from God on a boat to Tarshish. Despairing, he offers to cast himself into the sea in order to end the storm. But the crew casts Jonah into the sea. And the storm ends, and the sailors are relieved. But God is not yet done with Jonah, for he sends a big fish to swallow Jonah and rescue him from a watery death. Now, one might actually debate whether this was actually a rescue. Just think of how awful it must have been to spend 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of this big fish. You can just imagine the smells and the slime floating around in there. In the belly of the big fish, Jonah does finally come to his senses. And he prays to God and cries out for deliverance. And God answers his prayer as Jonah is literally spewed out of the belly of the fish onto dry land. Then God comes to Jonah a second time and calls him to go and preach to the great wicked city of Nineveh. This time, Jonah appears to have learned his lesson. He goes to Nineveh. It was so large that it took him 3 days to walk across the city. But his heart had not really changed. He preaches a sermon that was hardly persuasive. It surely would have gotten him an F in any seminary preaching class. It ranks up there with the world's all-time shortest sermons. In Hebrew, it was only 5 words. Jonah preached, 40 days and Nineveh shall be destroyed. Wow. We can see Jonah was just going through the motions. He didn't want the sermon to work. because he did not want to see Nineveh get off the hook. So, Jonah must have been utterly stunned when it did work. And the entire city repents of its sin and vows to change its wicked ways. Even the king puts on sackcloth and ashes to express his sorrow. He begins a fast and demands that the whole city do the same. And they did. Can you imagine it? In this great and wicked city of 120,000 people. Huge numbers for a city in the ancient world. Everyone puts on sackcloth and ashes and fasts. We are told even the animals did. I mean, even the cats and dogs. God had changed his mind. Instead of giving Nineveh the destruction it deserves, God forgives Nineveh and spares the city. So much for timeless and unchanging gods. This is exactly what Jonah wanted to prevent. You would think that Jonah would have been thrilled with the results of his sermon. We wish that every preacher would have results like that. But Jonah is angry, furious, outraged. How could God do this? How could God be so unfair? He was afraid that God would be gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love to a city that did not deserve it. Not wanting to have any part of this, he again wanted to flee to Tarshish. Jonah's complaint sounds an awful lot like the complaint of the laborers in the vineyard in the parable in today's gospel. They, like Jonah, did not like the manager who was so recklessly generous to those who did not deserve it. It is not fair to pay the laborers who worked all day in the hot sun the same as those who worked only 1 hour at the end of the day. It is not fair that God would change his mind at the drop of a hat and forgive that wicked city of Nineveh. People needed to earn what they get. In disgust, Jonah pitches his tent just east of the city. There he will wait for Nineveh to get what it deserves. Surely God will come to his senses and make them pay. Surely Nineveh will fall back into its evil ways and fry for its crimes. Jonah sits under the hot sun, sipping his iced tea, waiting for hellfire and brimstone to fall upon Nineveh. But that night, something very strange happens. God causes a castor oil bean plant to suddenly grow up. And the next day it provides Jonah with welcome shade from the hot sun. Jonah thinks he's got it made in the shade as he patiently waits for what will surely happen, the destruction of Nineveh. But it doesn't happen. Okay, thinks Jonah, wait another day. Then Nineveh will surely pay. But shortly before dawn of the second day, God sends a little worm to eat into the castor oil plant. And the plant withers and dies. And without shade, Jonah is angry. He is furious. Now he has to wait without shade in the hot sun. And the wind blows even hotter. And fed up with the sun, fed up with Nineveh, and fed up with this God who is so recklessly merciful, Jonah wants to die. But God will not give up. he offers Jonah a question. Jonah, if you care so much for this castor oil plant, which you did nothing to deserve, can I not care for this great city of Nineveh, which is more than 3 days across, which has more than 120,000 people, plus dogs and cats, and is so confused that it does not know its right hand from its left? Silence. The end. That's it. The book is done. And we are left hanging with a question. How can we still complain about God's generosity? You see, Jonah is us. Jonah is like those laborers in the vineyard in today's gospel. We, like them, resent God's mercy. Sure, that if God would only give everyone what they deserve, all would be well. But do we really want God to give us what we deserve? Given our track record, do we really want God to balance the scales of justice? Do we really want the Ninevehs of this world to fry? Jonah thought he did. But when he fried under the hot sun, God was giving Jonah a hint of what Jonah's fate would be if God were truly fair. If God were to really give everyone in the world what they deserved, it would not be pretty. But the unexpected appearance of the castor oil bean plant and its welcome shade graciously reminds Jonah that God does not want to give Jonah what he deserves. Instead, as we see repeatedly happen through this marvelous little book, God loves Jonah, pursues Jonah, and never gives up. He never gives up on Jonah and Nineveh and us, and never gives us what we justly deserve. The story of Jonah is not just about an amazing miracle, a guy getting swallowed by a whale and living to talk about it. No, it is about God's love, God's unfair generosity, and the lengths to which God goes to express it. This ancient story foreshadows the unfair generosity that God has exercised in Christ. Someone must pay for the sins of Nineveh. Someone must pay for the sins of the world. Someone must pay for what we have inflicted upon our neighbors. When God comes looking for us, we are afraid that we will have to pay. And all we want to do is get out of town on the next boat to Tarshish. But God will not let us flee. Not because God wants to make us pay, but because God is so gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And God wants to be incredibly generous, unfairly so, to Jonah, to Nineveh, and even to us. So, God sends big fish and castor oil bean plants and reluctant prophets and his only son to the cross to suffer and die, and water splashed at the font, and bread and wine served on a table, and the embraces and encouragement and the love of the people of this congregation to rescue us from the deadly waters of our foolish arrogance. If anyone must pay for the sins of the world, it will be God who pays. And it costs God dearly, It's the price God willingly pays in Christ. So, we do not need to flee in a boat to Tarshish. We do not need to sit under a castor oil bean plant hoping that all those bad people out there will get what they deserve. We do not need to self-righteously complain about God's unfair generosity for those who do not deserve it, as if we do. Instead, we can rejoice. Rejoice in God's unfair generosity and tell the Ninevehs of this world of the good news that changes everything. Amen.